Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Denver Sports Station 1043 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Later on, money, my heart stood still.
Happy Thursday, everybody. So glad that you are with us as we kick off another NFL week. Week two. G-Men and Washington. Classic NFC East battle. Mark Schlereth, part of a number of those chapters.
Back in the day, that would have been a great matchup, right?
Great matchup.
Back in the day. Back when you had a fight against Lawrence Taylor and you called him sir, you know, back Bill Belichick was running the defense and the big tuna on offense. And he wasn't really on offense, but you know what I'm saying? Big tuna out there on the sideline. Those were some great, man. Those were great battles. When I came in the league, the NFC, we used to laugh from on high at the rest of the divisions. And when we got an AFC team, AFC teams were soft. They're not calloused. They don't play in the NFC East. We just go, we were just skull stomp them.
That's the Broncos.
Yeah. I mean, that's how we felt. We went into Pittsburgh when I was in Washington and we're like, oh, they're AFC team. Beat them 41-14. We beat people down.
Well, it was like the NFC beat the AFC, I think, what was it, 11, 12 times?
I think 13 straight wins.
In the Super Bowl. And they weren't even close.
And you know
most of them weren't even close.
You know who broke the string?
That'd be the Denver Broncos against the Green Bay Packers.
What are the two things they have in common?
Everything involved Mark Schlereth.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen. Great Mark Schlereth.
I mean, I was part of, you know, beating up the AFC when I was in the NFC, winning a Super Bowl in the NFC, and then I flipped the script. I run over to the AFC, and guess who? The balance of powers change, Mike. It's my physicality.
You're a balance shifter.
I am. I'm like on that, you know, on the scales of justice, you know, those little two, that's like got the little dude holding up the thing. You know, it's like I don't know what he's holding up. It's like almost a scepter. And then the little thing balances across. And then you got the two little plates with the chains that go up. I'm that guy. I'm holding it up. And then everything tilts to whichever direction I'm looking.
Well, just remember, with such power comes great responsibility.
Right. I don't know what you call those things, but I'm sure they've got a name. Those scales, those justice, those balance, those weight, like that, whatever that is.
Well, I'll ask my own personal Google machine, our listeners, on the RamosLive.com.
We need to put one of those on I Told You So Island.
Yes, it does belong there.
Yes.
303-713-1043. Oh, curious. Did you get an update from the Eagles regarding your request to play Rock, Paper, Scissors with Nick Sirianni? You reached out to your PR friend.
Yeah. Yes, I did. I did. And he's like, oof.
Oof. Oof.
He's like, that hasn't gone over well. He hasn't yeah. And I told my PR buddy, Bob, I was like, hey, dude, listen, just tell him this. He didn't have to do it. I get it. If he didn't want to do it, I understand that. I go, but authenticity is the most important thing you can have. And making fun of yourself sometimes makes you real. I go, And that'd be really, it'd be cool. It'd be funny.
Yeah, but I get it. It's Philadelphia. If he was coaching in Jacksonville or Tennessee or somewhere like Arizona, Philly's tough, man. They sense weakness. They pounce.
Well, they do.
They pounce.
Unlike Giants, New York fan base, which is fake tough guys, right? The whole New York fan
struggling
base is just fake toughness. Look how tough we are. We're bad. We're tough. And, you know, and they're real sensitive. They're just super duper sensitive. Philly fans, if you bust on their team and it's warranted, they're like, hell yeah, let's get on them. We hate them too. Yeah. Jump on our hate wagon. Right. They're good with that. Anyhow, that's kind of my take on the two fan bases. They both on the surface are gruff and tough and nasty and don't want to cross them.
Yeah.
But if it's honest, in Philly, they're like, jump on the hate wagon. We're with you.
Yeah, their hide's a little tougher, right?
Yeah. New York, I don't know when New York, when did New York become so soft?
Yeah, you're right.
Weren't they always associated with kind of hard-nosed, tough, like, hold their team accountable fan?
Fans are funny. Some, and I'm not saying all fans, but just some fans are funny. Like, I've always believed being a great fan means you have the right to love your team today and hate them tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
You know, just love them today and then be kicked off with them tomorrow.
Right.
Some people, for some people, nope, it's got to be unconditional love. Like yesterday, for example, we were talking about the Nuggets re-signing Aaron Gordon. And we were talking about the difference between when he was in Orlando for like 26 games and then with the Nuggets for 26 games. We compared the numbers.
Yeah.
26 and 26, right?
Right. 17 points a game in Orlando.
It was more like
16.
It was like 15 in Orlando and 10 in with the Nuggets, and rebounds were cut in half and assists were cut in half, right? Right.
Yeah.
So, and when it was all said and done, we said, hey, look, you know, we expect him to be much better this year once he's all comfortable. I got a text from a guy. Well, the minutes, you didn't bring up the minutes. The minutes were probably a lot different. A-hole. Call me an a-hole.
Mm-hmm.
Because heaven forbid you say anything that is perceived as a negative. And I texted back to the guy. I said, dude, he played 29 minutes per game in Orlando and almost 26 minutes per game with Denver. So you're telling me those three extra minutes, he's all of a sudden averaging four points, three rebounds, two assists in just those 4 minutes? Come on.
Right.
Just, come on. You're not a bad fan. If you happen to point out something that's negative.
Or you hold them accountable. By the way, getting a lot here, the scales of justice is a lady. That's what they're telling me. It's a lady that holds the scales of justice. How do you know it's just not me dressed in a gown because of my porcelain skin?
Good point. You could. That skin of yours?
Chiseled porcelain. Yep. I mean, of course I'll shave the goatee if I'm taking a scales of justice picture. And I'll have one of those, I'll have one of those judgy type robes on. You know, judgy, I don't know what you call those, judgy robes.
Well, you'd have to. You'd have to definitely have the Judge Judy type robe because.
Cloak. Like a cloak.
You have to, because I don't know many ladies that are yoked like you.
Don't you wish your lady was yoked like me? Don't you? I still haven't had much sleep, Mike.
Please stop.
Awesome. That's always the best. Joel Klatt's the best, too, and we always bring you the best of Joel. You'll hear what he had to say, his breakdown of the Broncos opening season, when what he loves so much about Teddy Bridgewater's performance. You'll hear that next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
As always, we give you great 6 a.m. listeners the opportunity to hear the best of our visit with Joel Klatt every week. Began by asking him how impressed he was by Teddy Bridgewater.
A lot. I think that the opening drive of the second half was why he's the starter. How many times did we see previous quarterbacks, and this is not a knock against Drew specifically, but previous quarterbacks since Peyton not be able to execute through, 16-play drive, make some of the small plays necessary in order to keep your team on the field and convert in a day in which the run game wasn't dominant by any stretch and wasn't even really all that good. It was okay, but it wasn't, something that you would consider good. He was still able to manipulate the pocket, find completions, be efficient. I loved it, right? I mean, he's a big reason why they're sitting there late in that game, and the game is totally out of hand in terms of for the Broncos, which doesn't happen in the NFL. You guys know that. I mean, this is a one-possession league, and Denver's sitting there with the game totally in hand at the end. So I tell you, I was incredibly impressed, and I thought that, as I kind of suggested, you saw the reason why he is so valuable, and I think that first possession of the second half was a big reason why.
Pocket presence, just being cool, under duress, not making mistakes, how impressive was Teddy Bridgewater? It was the intangible stuff as I was broadcasting the game, Joel, that I was just like, this is why these are the things that matter that the average fan just doesn't get to see on a day-to-day basis.
Well, and in particular for a team that, let's face it, like they need everything, right? They need an identity. They need a leader. They need a calming presence. And you can make an argument that, like, oh, teams take on the identity of their head coach. But I think in the NFL, teams take on the persona of their quarterback more so. And his calming, veteran, efficient influence, I think, led everyone to just play better. I think it led the defense to playing better and calming down after the start and you know, getting their feet underneath them. And everyone's just like, hey, everyone just take a deep breath. We're going to be fine. And why are we going to be fine? Because we understand how to execute. And everything that you just said is absolutely right. This is a big reason. And we talked about it all training camp. And this is, you know, I guess if I was a coach, I would just be like a super safe, like, coach. But to me, this decision was always a no-brainer because you never go with splash at quarterback. You always go with consistency. And I think that consistency leaked into every area of the team, in particular in the way that they just approached the game.
Joel, when you have a coach who is being as aggressive as Vic Fangio was on fourth down,
yeah.
How does the team, and I'm bringing the defense into this as well, how does a team react to its head coach being that aggressive?
Well, I think typically players love it. Players always want their coach to be aggressive. I think if it's one of the hard parts of being a head coach is that the pull and the energy around you is always to make the more aggressive decision. Go for the block punt, you know, go try a fake, go for it on fourth down. The players all want to pull in that direction. And so I think that when you feed them those little bits, they can gain confidence. And in particular, when you're doing it at places like midfield, you know, and I know that the sheet, and you got to understand, guys, like football is, I mean, analytics are seeping in to the sport. And I've seen it at the college level. There are coaches that go for it on fourth down all the time. But as soon as you get into plus territory, in particular, when you cross the 50 until about the 35, right, from the 50 until you get into field goal range, the analytics would suggest that you should probably go for it on fourth down almost every time, mm-hmm. unless you're like in the 4th-and-7 range. And so we may see this more in just football in general, even in the NFL. And I don't know if it's necessarily just because, oh, the coach is being really aggressive. Now, having said that, there's a few different factors that you're going to make that decision on based in game. And I think a couple of those would be like, are you trusting your defense? Do you like what you're seeing from your offense? You know, if it's not going well for you and you're having a hard time everywhere, you're probably going to just like punt the football and try to play for field position and so on and so forth. But if you feel good about your defensive plan, if you feel good about your matchups, if you feel good about the efficiency of your offense, then you might press the envelope. And I think that was the case on Sunday for Denver.
Von Miller, I said during the broadcast, the best thing I can say about Von Miller is he looked like Von Miller, right? What was your takeaway from watching Von Miller play on Sunday?
It looks fast. Maybe it's just that, like, it's been a minute since we've seen him. But Mark, he looked like there was a burst to him. I think that what made him so exceptional, is in particular when you're thinking about those playoff runs and the run to winning the Super Bowl in Super Bowl 50, was his first step was the best first step in all of football. And then you couple that with his athleticism to bend on the edge and get low to the ground, and he became an unblockable force. And I thought for the first time in a long time, He looked like that player. I thought his first step was exceptional. I thought his ability to bend was exceptional. He looks fast. He looked more like a 2017 version of Von Miller than he did a 2019 version of Von Miller. And I think that that should make Bronco fans really excited. Now, having said that, can you imagine how much better he could look if you could keep him just a hair more fresh in terms of a 17-game season rather than a 16-game season if you can get Bradley Chubb back on the field? Not only fresh, but you can also scheme to a standpoint where one of those guys is going to get a one-on-one matchup. So, you know, I think getting Chubb back on the field is going to be important, and let's hope it was, at least what I've been reading, it was precautionary that he wasn't available, and let's hope that that's the case.
All right, the best of Joel Klatt each and every week, presented by Audi Flatirons, and always brings it every week, does Joel. Coming up next, we've got the Morning Brew.
Smell yourself.
Yeah, smell yourself. We'll hear from Teddy Bridgewater, KJ Hamler. Urban Meyer addresses those USC rumors. And these Rockies continue to show, hey, maybe we had them pegged wrong. That's all coming up next. Denver's Sports Station, 104.3, The Fan.
Good morning!
Morning!
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are gonna get weird.
You're gonna eat lightning, and you're gonna crack thunder!
Okay, this guy needs coffee and cooler stat.
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues? What?
Orange mocha frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. This some serious gourmet shit.
Let's get it on.
KJ just got to be KJ. And he's a special player. He's here for a reason. He's explosive. He's dynamic. He's shifty. He can catch the ball well. He runs great routes. And that's what we expect of him this week. You know, we don't need him to come in and try to be something that he's not. And he doesn't have to pretend to be something that he's not. If KJ can be the best version of KJ, he'll help his offense go. And he'll continue to grow in the system and in his league.
Who are you expecting more from in picking up the slack for the injured Jerry Jeudy? Is it KJ Hamler or is it Courtland Sutton?
I think it's Courtland Sutton. I think it's got to be Courtland Sutton. And I think that's,
even if Courtland Sutton isn't 100%, I mean, he had one catch for 14 yards last week.
Was it on the fourth down or two? I think it was on the fourth down.
Yeah. Okay. Big catch.
Or one on the fourth down.
Big catch, but one catch.
But that's, sometimes that's just the way they, hey, listen, Courtland is still a guy, when you talk in the meetings, Courtland is still a guy that people are very aware of.
If he's 100%. We saw footage from practice yesterday. He's still limping.
Yeah, he's got a little
hitch in his giddy up.
But that's the thing is that it takes time. And you don't stress your body. There's nothing that stresses your body to play for football. Like, you can't simulate that stress of a game in practice. So it's going to take some time. But, yeah, I think Courtland Sutton is your go-to guy, is your number one guy. And I think that's what's going to – I mean, that seems to me that what's going to happen.
Next on the Morning Brew.
Probably a week after the last preseason game. Definitely.
Was there any specific reason why? Did he –
He just wanted to take a young dude under his wing.
How about Teddy Bridgewater asking to have KJ Hamler's locker move closer to his? And kind of a take him under his wing type scenario.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. Does that happen that often?
No. It doesn't.
What does it tell you?
Well, it tells me that Teddy cares. Teddy wants to, again, like I told you yesterday, you know, sitting in that meeting and talking to Teddy Bridgewater, talking about sometimes there's not enough footballs to go around in a game, and you just have to, you know, satisfy a guy with words. Tell him what a great route he ran. Tell him, hey, man, I just didn't get back there, but that was awesome. You know, there are sometimes, and he said, sometimes, you know, I want to learn their perspective, what they're seeing, but I want to make sure they know my perspective so that I can help them grow as young receivers. Again, you know, I've talked about it all camp. Nobody want to listen. All camp, that when you're developing a young offense, why it's important to have a veteran. All camp, we've been talking about for 5 years with this organization's reluctance to sign an actual veteran quarterback. that can help do that stuff. Mike, that right there, again, you know what? Put another notch in the, or build another amusement, or build another area, resting area of I Told You So Island. That's why it's important. That's why I've been telling you guys for 5 years they need to do it. That's why Brandon Allen wasn't the guy. That's why, you know, that, I mean, go through it. Jeff Driscoll, that go through it. You, not only have you not developed, you know, you haven't fully developed Drew Lock, but you didn't give him the tools around him to develop Drew Lock. Again, it's short sighted. You're spending pennies to earn dollars when you do it. And they're thinking of it the opposite way. We don't want to spend dollars. Let's spend, you know. And ultimately, what you get in value is exponentially greater than what you're actually spending.
Next on the Morning Brew.
Yeah, there's no chance that I'm here and committed to try to build an organization.
Urban Meyer, at least for now, squelching rumors that he's ready to bolt Jacksonville for the vacant USC job. I figured Jacksonville would be a great spot for Urban Meyer, right? Mm-hmm. He's a legend in that area of the world from his time at Florida. It's Jacksonville, for God's sake.
Right.
Millennial Ben came from Jacksonville. He'll be the first to tell you. Jacksonville's boring. It's dull. Okay? It'd be an easy, stress-free place to work. And yet, from the moment he's landed there, there's been nothing but controversy and noise around this guy.
It just feels...
See where I went there?
Yes. It just... You know what it feels like to me? It just feels like you went there... I don't know. It just feels like you went there because it was there, not because that was your passion or dream. Like, you wanted it... Like... Almost.
I think Trevor Lawrence helped a lot. He wouldn't be taking that job if it wasn't for Trevor Lawrence.
Of course. But, like, I think it feels to me like, you know, like, hey, let me go dip my toe in the NFL and see what happens. If you don't dip your toe in the NFL, you don't wade into the shallow. And yeah, you wade in and you get right up to your thighs before you, but you're careful because, you know, that cold Yarbrough water.
Yeah.
And you just get to a point where you're like, ooh. And then it's just better just to dive right in so everything gets cold. Not just, you know, your bits and pieces. You know what I'm saying? Feels like he's wading in to the NFL. He's just wading in there. You gotta jump in the deep end.
You don't think his heart's really into it? He just figured, hey, I've accomplished everything I can accomplish in college. One thing I haven't done. Let's try it. I can always go back to college.
Right. You've got 1 foot out the door when you walked in.
Well, if Trevor Lawrence ends up being the real deal, he's fine. He can coast through that and do that thing for, you know, next 5 to 7 years and be just fine.
If let's say Trevor Lawrence is the real deal.
Yeah.
And let's say he gets the snot beat out of him and he keeps making bad decisions. How long are you the real deal for? David Carr?
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. I'm assuming he's the real deal and his career goes that way and not the way of David Carr.
Well.
Then you're fine.
For your career not to go the way of David Carr, you know what you have to have?
An offensive line.
A really good football. Do you have to build a roster? I don't know. I don't have a lot of faith in that working out long term.
Next on the Morning Brew. Hey,
Dick Shot,
do we need to take a different look at these Colorado Rockies and the season they've had, and more importantly, the future that they possess? Because they're coming off a road trip in which, well, they're still in the midst of it. They can still have one more game. But so far on this road trip, they've taken 3 out of 4 from the Phillies and 2 in a row from the Braves. With a morning game coming up this morning, but 5-1 on a road trip against 2 teams that are playing in a competitive division. They're playing the role of spoiler to a T, and they're doing it on the road. Mark, are you starting to feel like there may be a bit of an identity or culture being built for these Rockies that they could take into the offseason?
Yeah,
Slareth, what a fan.
You know, I think the one thing about the Rockies that has impressed me, and I know it's a requirement, but those dudes battle. They may not be the most talented group, Mike, but they battle. I think the core of what you've built from an organizational standpoint on the diamond, from Bud Black to the players that he's coaching, those dudes are, you know, grits is probably an overused term, but they're gritty, man. I like that part of them. And to think that, you know what, they're 10 games under 500 when we thought they would be lucky to win 50 or 60 games. I think they got some grit. I think they from a cultural standpoint, I don't have any issue with their toughness. I really don't. That part I like. I like every night they go out, they'll compete. They'll give you enough from a competition standpoint to win.
16-12 in their last 28 games. And over these last seven, playing the role of a spoiler very nicely. That'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. James Merrillat joins us coming up next. And who does he have in his crosshairs this morning? Oh, he has a specific Bronco. Tell you who it is next. It's Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan. James Merrillat, DenverFan.com. Very own James Merrillat, presented by Old Chicago Pizza and Tap Room, joins us now. Morning, James.
Morning, guys.
All right, what are you grinding on, right? What's grinding your gears, James? What are you upset
with? He's going after poor Cortland Sutton now.
No, I'm not going after him, but, you know, it was our, you know, friend Andrew Mason posted a video from practice yesterday, and it was Cortland Sutton going through a drill, and I get it, it's a change of direction drill. He's supposed to be going right, left, right, left, right, left, but he was hobbling and limping and gimpy going through the drill. I pointed it out because I was down at mini camp and said he was limping, and people said I was crazy. I was at training camp and said he was limping, and people said I was seeing things. Watching the game the other day on the deep ball where he'd limped his way through the route and wasn't able to get to it, and I just pointed out, you know, yeah, keep telling me he's not limping. And, man, it took about 4 seconds for state-sponsored media to try and defuse that. So all I'm doing is pointing out what my eyes tell me, and that's that Cortland Sutton is not back yet. He's not himself. Not critical of him. I'm just stating the fact, and that didn't go over well with certain people.
Well, I tell you, James, I mean, here's the expectation. You're, what, about a year out of ACL surgery?
Yep.
Maybe not quite a year out?
Yep.
You're wearing a brace. That's just honest. I mean, that's just,
right.
That's what you expect, and you hope that they manage him well enough, and that by Sundays, you know, he keeps growing. It's really the response. You know, it's really how you respond once you've played a game. You know, you're a little bit gimpy. There's nothing you can do to simulate playing a game other than playing a game, and you just hope that it continues to grow because I think it needs. I think. He and Teddy Bridgewater need to find and create that connection. And, you know, that may take another 4 or 5 weeks. We're going to have to be patient.
We are. I think that had Jerry Jeudy not gotten injured, it would have been a lot easier to be patient. I think at this point, you know, I think there's a little more pressure on Cortland Sutton to get back and play at the level he was before the injury and to do it sooner rather than later. I think there's pressure on Teddy Bridgewater to build a connection with Cortland Sutton. I believe he had one catch for 14 yards in the opener. So that's clearly not going to do it when you're the starter and the other starter is now going to be out for, what, 3 to 6 weeks. So I think that probably has to move the timeline up a little bit. And, yeah, again, I'm not being critical of Cortland Sutton at all. I mean, the fact that he's even back and playing and working his way through it, I think it deserves he deserves a ton of credit. I was just pointing out the fact that he's not quite back yet. So it's a receiving core that during training camp, they had a lot of depth there. But now you're without Jerry Jeudy. Cortland Sutton is banged up. I think Tim Patrick right now at this exact moment is the best receiver on the team. KJ Hamler has the dropsies. It would have been, I think they'd have been better off. And I didn't like the trade at the time because he was the quote-unquote star of training camp. their trade for Trinity Benson, sending him to Detroit for a fifth-round pick, looks worse and worse because right now he's a guy I would feel more comfortable having in the lineup and being on the 53 than Kendall Hinton. So it's just a room that at one point and on paper it looks really deep. But now without Jerry Jeudy with Courtland Sutton still trying to come back from the injury, it's not as deep as we once thought.
James, I know you follow the Nuggets very, very closely. Interesting the reaction to the Aaron Gordon signing. We had a promo from Nick Ferguson that just ran, which he said, all they're doing is running back the same team that got blown out by Phoenix in the playoffs. Or maybe that's the smart way to go, is to stay committed to this core. How do you see it?
Well, I see why people are frustrated, because to some extent I am too, right? Like, we went through the playoffs and it was, oh my gosh, how can you have any expectations? They don't have Jamal. They got swept, but what did you expect? And now they're trying to sell us on, well, here's the exact same core with PJ Dozier added back in, and they're going to be fine until Jamal comes back. I that doesn't pass the smell test, so I'm with people on that. But I look at this and I'm more optimistic on it for two reasons. One, if you don't re-sign him, well, what's your other route, right? Like, the Jeremy Grant, the inability to re-sign him a year ago, the dominoes of that keep falling if you don't get Aaron Gordon re-signed. You already lost because you didn't get Jeremy Grant. You had to get rid of Gary Harris, RJ Hampton, and then you lose Aaron Gordon. It's like, well, how are you going to replace him? You're running out of trade chips. Who's left in free agency? So that's part of it. The other thing, though, Mike, and this to me is the most encouraging thing. Before Jamal Murray got hurt, I think it was 9 games they played after the Aaron Gordon trade. I believe they were 8-1. And, man, he fit in perfect in terms of he's not a guy that creates his own shot. He's not a guy you need to run offensive plays to over and over and over again. But, man, he can get his points because he's just so athletic. He can get to the boards. He can get second shots. And then he's so good moving without the basketball and cutting to the basket with Jamal, and then with Nikola being able to find him. He was really, really good with this group. So it's going to take some patience. We're going to have to wait, and the Nuggets are going to have to find a way to win some games and stay in it until Jamal comes back. And then, you know, speaking of the Courtland Sutton injury, not just until Jamal comes back and is on the floor, but until Jamal is Jamal, they're going to have to find a way to win some games. But, man, I want to see that group together. I think that big four was looking like they could be pretty special. So, yeah, I want to see it. I want to see him run that group back. But, yeah, it's going to be frustrating that the team we see against Phoenix in the opener is essentially the same team we saw get swept by Phoenix. That's going to be a little bit frustrating. But, you know, it's patience time. I'm going to preach patience with the Nuggets.
You know what's frustrating? You're not nearly salty enough today.
Hey, you sound like you're in a good mood.
Yeah, well, you know, it's almost a weekend. You know, I went 30 minutes round and round with Sandy last night. The stink, so maybe that just took it out of me.
Yeah, right. I got some feedback on that, saying that Sandy took you to the woodshed.
Well, that's, I suppose, if you're a Teddy guy, that's how you would look at it. If you were, you know, somebody who looks at it and says, hey, it was a great first week, but let's not, you know, jump the gun here. Let's wait and see if it's something that's repeatable. You might look at it a different way. But it was the word I would use for it, Mike, was it was a spirited debate.
Oh, hey, listen, I've been on the other end of a spirited debate or two with Sandy Clough.
You know, sometimes the most cathartic thing you can do is just admit you're wrong and move on, James.
Hey, thanks, James. That's we appreciate you, buddy.
Thank you, James. All right, guys. See ya.
James Merrillat, DenverFan.com's very own James Merrillat, presented by Old Chicago Pizza and Tap. Coming up, speaking of Teddy Bridgewater, what are the chances of him being able to play like he played last week, every week? It's Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.